All right. How's it going out there, everybody? Dave Smith here, checking in from the rural mesas of Western Colorado out here on the Western Slope, where the Rocky Mountains end and the desert begins. I've been wanting to check in a little bit with all that's been going on, and since I'm not teaching and traveling like I usually do, I don't get a chance to upload any new talks. And I know that a lot of you listen to these podcasts and really from all around the world. So I thought I would try to do some more regular ones from my house and just offer some reflection and some teachings about what's going on. I've also been really inspired by Gil Fronsdale, who has been doing these short little Dharma talks every day on his Audio Dharma podcast. So you might want to check him out if you haven't. One of the best teachers around. Gil Fronsdale up in Redwood City, so you can check that out. But he's been doing these talks every day where he's just been checking in with folks and just offering some support and some guidance. It is now Sunday, April the 5th. I'm recording this at about 11 a.m. And I just wanted to offer some talk and perspective on the current COVID-19 situation that we all find ourselves in. And a way to, how do we allow our practice to support us during this time? How can we hold a framework or a perspective that's actually useful, but doesn't indulge in the media hype and the fear that's going on out there? We don't want to indulge that. Nor do we want to suppress or be in denial, so we find ourselves in this, once again, back in this ongoing question of equanimity. This is one of the most rich concepts in the entire Buddhist tradition, upekkha in Pali. Also, I believe, one of the most really misunderstood teachings around how we hold experience in this cultivation of equanimity, which is oftentimes translated as evenness of mind, equipoise, mental balance, emotional balance. And it also can be understood in two ways. One, as a perspective. So there's a way of seeing things, a way of relating to the present moment experience through equanimity. And then also the compassionate side of it, the heart, equanimity as a metta practice of being able to actually have equanimity with our feelings, being able to respond to what's going on in a way that is constructive, that is useful. So a lot to be said about that. But I wanted to start the conversation on probably the reality of fear. And that seems to be the topic of the day, the theme of the day, is that as humans, when we're encountered with this reality of fear, we don't always do so well. And also fear can get sort of an undeserved bad rap. We know that in the world of emotions, in the science of emotions, that there are no emotions are negative or positive, good or bad. They're just there. Emotion of fear is probably the oldest and most ancient emotion that we have as humans. And how do we relate to it? How do we practice with it in a way that, again, we don't indulge it? We don't become overwhelmed by fear, but we also don't become complacent or cocky or in denial, pretending like everything's going to be okay, a type of kind of conceit can arise in that. And the way that I like to think about equanimity from the Pali is, there's this word, I can't pronounce it. It's Tatra Majahatatata. And this is the Abhidharma, the other way equanimity is talked about. Usually we know it as upekkha. But this other way is so hard to pronounce, probably one of the reasons why nobody uses it. But it's translated as there in the middleness. And so we find ourselves in the middle of this situation, this pandemic, the reality of the situation. And so maybe a good time to just pause and to just reflect on your own level of fear, your own relationship to fear, and to just try to see where you might fit on this broader spectrum of, is this fear something that you tend to indulge in, become overwhelmed, constantly screening your devices, looking for a bit of maybe hopeful information, or indulging in the bad news, catastrophizing, that extreme? Are you on that extreme of the spectrum? Where are you there? And are you on the denial side? Are you the, everything's going to be okay, we just got to wait it out? Not really wanting to feel into or to acknowledge the situation of fear. One thing that's always, I guess you could say, bothered me, has always made me feel a little bit concerned or skeptic or just confused, really, is probably the best word, about the Buddhist tradition or the way that the mind is understood, is that actually fear, which is such a human common experience that we all have, it actually doesn't show up in the teachings really anywhere. It's not one of the mental factors. It's not one of the unwholesome mental factors. You know, it doesn't show up in your constant or common list of greed, hatred, and delusion. Some teachers will equate delusion with fear, but that's pretty inaccurate to do that. That's really not what it is. Moha, delusion, actually really is more confusion. So even the schema of greed, hatred, delusion, not totally great. It's really craving and aversion and confusion. Confusion is probably the most accurate term for moha, which is commonly translated as delusion. But we don't see fear anywhere. In fact, if you look at the Abhidharma, which is the most thorough analysis of the mental factors, so it's understood in the Abhidharma that in the third foundational mindfulness that we know of as citta, we usually see, you know, greed, hatred, and delusion, which is, you know, a fairly common list, but, you know, a lot more going on than greed, hatred, and delusion, and that they're broken down into groups. So they're understood to be 14 unwholesome mental factors that can arise. Three of them are greed, four of them are hatred, and three of them are considered other. And so I'll just read the standard list just so we can just kind of think about this. So we have the 14 unwholesome mental factors that arise in consciousness of confusion, shamelessness, moral fearlessness, restlessness, greed, self-view, conceit, hatred, envy, stinginess, worry, sloth, torpor, and skeptical doubt. Now, you probably recognize, some of you, that the last four are really associated with the hindrances, which we talk about a lot in the fourth foundation: craving, aversion, restlessness, lethargy, and doubt. Here, sometimes they use these words differently: sloth, torpor, which is really just lethargy, mental, physical lethargy. Greed covers the craving aspect of that. Hatred covers the aversion aspect of that. But we only see, we don't see the word fear, nor do we see the word fear anywhere in the 52 mental factors, which are known as chaitesikas. A chaitesika is like a mini citta. We don't see that anywhere. Although you might have noticed, as I read the list, there was this number 16 here. It's in Pali, anotapa, which stands for, or translates as, moral fearlessness. So there's the word fear. What is moral fearlessness? If we look on the other side of mental factors, the beautiful mental factors, we see these two Pali terms, hiri and otapa, which you might have heard of somewhere, as moral shame and moral fear. sometimes called Ajahn Sucitto calls them a sense of conscience and concern. So having a conscience about what we're doing, monitoring our behavior, and a concern for others, how our behavior affects others. It's probably a good way to understand Hari Otapa. The Pali scholar Andrew Alinsky likes to translate these as self-respect and respect for other, which I think is good. But really, what we're talking about in the Pali is moral shame and moral fear. Otapa is the moral fear one. So this is very interesting, I think, because what we're really looking at here is ethics, is an ethical relationship to fear, at least from the view of Buddhist psychology, is that the way we want to relate to fear is actually of an ethical nature, which I think is very important, because if we look at human behavior, it's probably not that hard to diagnose that most of the things that people do that are really unkind, that are greed-driven, that would be hoarding resources, not caring about how our actions and behaviors affect other people, are all rooted in this idea of fear. And so our two primary fears are we're afraid we're not going to get what we want, and we're afraid we're going to lose something that we already have. And so we look also at this other unwholesome factor of stinginess, of selfishness, miserliness, a not wanting to share, a non-generosity, which is really driven by fear. I'm afraid that I'm not going to get enough, so I'm not going to let you have any. I'm afraid that I'm going to lose what I already have. Maybe I actually have way too much resources anyway, and I'm afraid that somebody else is going to get them. And the Buddha points this out. This is really what is perpetuating a lot of the global crisis and a lot of the problems in our culture and society, is just this really destructive relationship to fear that's rooted in selfishness, self-centeredness, in a sense of hoarding, of not wanting others to get our resources. Very fundamental relationship to fear. So I guess the question is, well, what do we do about that? Yeah, sure, that might be interesting. It's a perspective, drawing on some Buddhist psychology terminology. Yeah, that can be interesting, maybe. Or, you know, how do we make this stuff actually useful in the current situation that we're in? And so really I have sort of three suggestions, three ways to hold what's going on just a practical day-to-day thing that can really, really be helpful. And first of all, that's the practice of metta, of loving kindness. The Buddha taught that as an antidote to fear. The reality or the perspective, the right view, the complete view of interdependence, of that we're all in this together. So doing our best to take care of ourselves and to take care of others. And the third here, equanimity, the both and of it. In a clinical sense, we use this word both and a lot, and especially in dialectical behavioral therapy, is life is both tragic and beautiful. Life is pleasurable and painful. Life is, we get what we want, we sometimes don't get what we want. There's gain, there's loss, there's pleasure, there's pain. There's all these polarized experiences, and we get caught in it being one way or the other. So here, polarity is really one of the things that drives. In one way, we could think that polarity is what has driven human dysfunction since day one. True and false, right and wrong, gain and loss. You don't agree with me. You're bad and wrong. You don't see things the way that I do. This really limited view is really what drives a lot of the human dilemma. So we can develop metta. We can develop this, may I be at ease? May I be at peace? May I be content in this moment just as it is, especially with the way things are right now. Metta is probably the most important mental, emotional quality to develop here at this time. So I've been doing a lot of metta practice here with myself, with my family. I have animals, and I actually have four miniature donkeys outside, and I go do metta with them because they're so emotionally intelligent that when I do that with them, there's a real sense of ease and connection, especially connecting me back to the natural world and the environment. So this big, really great opportunity to be practicing lots of metta and to see the interdependence, the fact that, you know, actually being generous and being kind and sharing and helping others is in our best interest, which is a very hard view for the American mind, the capitalistic mind, the individualistic, competitive mind to really buy into. That actually it's in your well-being is in my best interest. The well-being of the planet is in my best interest. And when we look at the way the coronavirus might be helping climate change, that's a very interesting perspective to have right now. I've been thinking about that a lot. Apparently, the hole in the ozone layer is shrinking. And there's all these ecological benefits right now for the fact that we're all sitting at home, not running around the planet, consuming copious amounts of resources. You know, it's actually the planet is getting a big breath of fresh air right now. And so that can be one way to see this perspective of seeing that, you know, our unskillful behaviors, our stinginess, our greediness, our hoarding of resources, our entitlement to have the resources that we have, to be flying all over the place, consuming resources all the time, is not good for the planet, it's not good for us, and it's not good for the greater good. So this self-retreat experience that we're all having might actually prove to be quite beneficial. And then, of course, equanimity, which is to be at ease, to understand that we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the outcome of this is going to be. We may look back in 50 years from now and go, man, that coronavirus was the best thing that had happened to the planet. Or it could be one of the things that really devastated. We just do not know. Here we can take a page from the Zen folks of this don't know beginner's mind, and to not catastrophize and to not read and believe everything that we see and that we hear and that we read online. So in this kind of three moments, we can have this sense of an ease, an internal ease in our mental balance, our mental and emotional balance by cultivating metta. If we can cool down and we can arrive into that mind space, we have the ability to open and to see things from this lens of interdependence, of the willingness to stay at home, to participate in this lockdown. It's good for me. It's good for everybody. You're doing everybody a service by doing this. And then the equanimity of we don't know where this is going. We don't know where this is heading. But these three practices really are helpful in almost addressing any kind of fear. And for those of you who out there who have been practicing Dharma for a long time, I know many of you have, it's again interesting that we don't see the term fear so much in the Dharma lists. Although we do know that the Buddha taught metta as an antidote for fear. But we also can acknowledge that the way that fear is meant to be worked with, the relationship we have to fear, the primary role we're being asked to develop is that of an ethical role, of not letting fear allow us to engage in destructive behaviors that are not helpful to us or to other people. And so to a big degree, we could see that fear is such a dynamic of the dukkha dimension, that this is really what is driving human suffering, is this unwise, unethical, destructive relationship to the emotion of fear. And so may we all better learn how to have more loving kindness, more compassion, more equanimity, and more willingness to embrace fear rather than to allow it to drive us out to consume, to be contemptuous, to blame, and to really hoard resources and to feel entitled to do all of that. So I hope to continue with more of these. I hope you find these words useful. And I hope before too long I get to see some of you out there on the path. Until then, I hope that you and your family and everybody is safe out there and slowing down and trying to enjoy the moments that you can when they are available to you. Be well, y'all.